Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, did you and your family have a good Memorial Day weekend?
We had a great Memorial Day, Dave. We remembered our veterans and as well as had an opportunity to relax with the family, work in our garden. I really enjoyed the time off.
Well, you are going to be a family with a member that's in the military very soon.
It won't be long till our second son, who just graduated from University of Georgia, will be enlisting in the U.S. Army and shipping off to boot camp. So that's going to be an interesting experience for us and one that I hope our listeners will pray for him about.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, today we have the privilege of opening up your email box and answering questions that people have sent to you. And by the way, if you'd like to send Chuck a question, you can email him at chuckbentley@crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley, all one word, at crown.org. And Chuck, if you're ready, let's just jump right into the first question here. And this listener writes, my husband is not a strong Christian, and I know it's best to submit to his counsel even when I don't agree with it, but we've had to keep our money in separate accounts because he does not want to be accountable for how he spends money. In your opinion, is it ever okay for a wife to say, I'm sorry you don't agree with me, but this is something I need to do?
I don't think that is okay, Dave, because I think the highest priority is having unity with your spouse. And I think that one of the clear signs the Lord gives us when we want his favor about a business decision, which she was asking about, is that we have unity and peace. And if you really want to honor God and his word, then you seek the counsel of your spouse. And I think it's very wise to listen to your husband's counsel, even if you don't agree with it. And I believe that in the long run, you would actually be more blessed by submitting to the counsel of your husband than you will be going off on your own, making a financial decision, and then having to suffer the consequences of having a divided marriage, even if you made a good financial decision.
Chuck, is there ever a circumstance where a wife should say no to her husband?
Well, Dave, I think it's obvious that if your husband is asking you to do something that's illegal or immoral or unethical or a direct violation of the scripture, then don't do it. But offer him the opportunity to understand God's wisdom and why you prefer to go with God's wisdom instead of just saying, I want to do it my way. Don't pit yourself against your spouse. Say, I would like to do it the Lord's way, and here's what God has taught me. Would you be willing to go along with it if you understood this is what the Lord says is best for us when we're making this financial decision? Normally, the husband will say, yes, I can agree to that.
Well, that's good wisdom. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, that last question is repeated often in emails that come to you where a husband and wife are divided about the use of their finances.
Well, it's not uncommon, Dave, and I would say about 80% of the questions that I get are from the wife who doesn't agree with the direction that the husband wants to take their finances, and then roughly 20% from a husband who can't get on the same page as their wife. But what it points out in 100% of the cases that there's division. And it's always so exciting to see the Lord bring two people into unity. And oftentimes in marriage, it's the last stronghold. And if you can get united over what you believe about money and how you're going to manage it, then you have such incredible joy in your relationship, because Satan can't get in there and divide you over little simple things. And that's why I think it's so important, if you're one of those couples, that you pick up a copy of Howard Dayton's new book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. Howard has studied this topic. He has gone deep on the issues, and his book really helps couples come into unity. And I strongly recommend that if that's the problem you're suffering with, to invest in that resource so that you, too, can become one with your spouse.
Well, that's good advice. And again, Howard's book is called Money and Marriage, and you can find that at crown.org. Chuck, our next question carries right into that same theme, and this listener writes, my husband insists that all monthly expenses should be split and paid. I make less than him. He secures car payments before the mortgage, and I've fallen behind 1 month. My next paycheck should cover the other half, but I firmly believe in tithing and offering, and now I don't know what to do.
Well, she goes on to say she's been married for 15 years, and this has been a very painful part of their life for over 15 years. And sometimes, Dave, when I'm speaking before a live audience and someone asks me a question of this nature, I ask the audience, what would you say? Mm. And so all the people listening right now, lock in your answer. Hmm. What would you say to this particular person? You know what many people would yell back? Sell the BMW.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of the car. Make the house payments first.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really not the issue. The car is not the issue, and the house payment is not the issue. The marriage is the issue. And this is why it's so important to have a common philosophy of money. You know, when you're dating, it's not that apparent that you're just polar opposites when it comes to money. She spends her money, the man spends his money, everybody's happy. But when you get together, suddenly those problems cause real issues and real strife and a constant grind. And so you have to have a way to solve that problem. Let me give some specific advice to this listener. First of all, ask your husband to go out to dinner. Howard recommends that in his book. Go on a money date. Go out to dinner, and first thing you need to do is tell your husband how much you love him and you respect him. And be sincere about that. Find the things that you want to highlight and express those right up front. Secondly, express to your husband that you would love to have a common view, a way to be unified on what you believe about money and then how you're going to behave about money. And then ask him, what is his philosophy? And find out what he really thinks. Then suggest that the two of you together discover if God has a way and see if you can agree and find common ground, not on your way, but on God's way. And then finally, ask if you can pray together and sincerely ask the Lord to bring two into one. Because the most important issue is not saving the house. It's not saving the BMW. It's saving the marriage. And when you can get unified on this, the BMW and the house payments and the tithing, all of that gets prioritized and peace returns to the marriage. And you will see God do remarkable things in your relationship because you're looking to Him as your unifier, not money. And that's where couples make such a deep mistake.
Chuck, we often hear from listeners who have gone through the Crown Bible Study how that was life-changing for them. If this couple or others listening today would like to take part in a Bible study, how can they find out about one in their area?
Well, Dave, it's actually a very significant part of my testimony. That's what God did for me to put me on the same page with my wife, Ann. The Crown Bible Study is certainly one of our great tools, but there are many ways to find unity around God's financial principles. Go to crown.org. Find a resource that you know you will use, whether it's a book, a Bible study, a calculator. Just get a hold of the tools so that you can start finding ways to lovingly, respectfully suggest to your spouse, let's do it a new way.
Well, this next question is a little more nuts and bolts. This listener writes, my husband is 59 and I am 51. We have two daughters. My goal for 2009 is to get on a budget and pay off the house. Now, with that in mind, how much cash is wise to keep at home in a safe place? Number two, how much insurance should we have? And number three, what recommendations do you have for investment advice?
Well, first of all, according to our money map, you need to have 3 to 6 months of emergency savings set aside. That means it's liquid, it's in a safe place, probably a bank, set in a money market account or a CD where you can get to it without penalty. Now, out of that 3 to 6 months that you're able to save, we recommend that you have a month of cash set aside in a very safe place where you can get to it without any concern. Some people put that at home. Some people put it in a safe deposit box. But at least a month of it that's totally available to you at any time that you might need it. You know, Dave, a recent Bloomberg survey said over 30% of Americans said they could not get their hands on $1,000 overnight if they had to, that would be a very big stretch. So set aside cash. That creates margin, and it really takes the pressure off of every other area of your life. And then your second question about life insurance, I think term life insurance is a really good idea for you, especially on your husband's life and where you are right now. And then once you get those two things taken care of and your consumer debt paid for, then you're in a position to be thinking long-term and be a long-term investor. There are a lot of sources to go for godly wisdom about that. We tend to like Rusty Leonard, Sound Mind Investing, Austin Pryor, also anybody who's a part of Kingdom Advisors. You can go to the Kingdom Advisors website and you will find people there who are trained to help you with financial planning from a biblical point of view with kingdom goals in mind. So that would be my recommendation. Get the emergency savings set aside, get the life insurance taken care of on a low-cost basis, and then start thinking long-term.
Chuck, at the beginning of this answer, you mentioned the money map, and that's a great hands-on tool that guides you through those various steps of getting to financial independence. And again, you can find the money map at crown.org.
You know, Dave, once you go to crown.org, you can also find a lot of other very helpful tools. We have a ton of free resources, financial forms, a will planning kit, calculators. We have tried to create a nexus where with one stop, anything that you need to get your financial house in order, you can do it online and it's free. That's why we exist, to do our very best to help you understand what God's Word says about money and to give you the tools so that you can apply it and be successful at living it out.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we are answering your questions today. If you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can do that by writing him at chuckbentley@crown.org. And you can either ask a question or you can send him a testimony. Chuck, this next question deals with something that maybe we need to go into a little bit of detail on at the front end. He writes, I've heard you mention the importance of having margin in your budget. What would you consider to be a good margin range for a single person with a net spendable income of about $35,000? Does the margin include savings, or is it just the amount after savings and all other expenses?
Well, he used an interesting term there that many of our listeners may not know, and it comes from using the online spending plan that Crown has developed. And he's obviously gone to the website, plugged in his gross income, and figured out that what we recommend is that you build your budget not on your gross income, but on your net spendable income. And that's what you have left over after you pay taxes and commit 10% of the gross to a tithe. So that's the format that he's asking us about. After he's committed money to tithing and to paying his taxes, he has $35,000 left over in net spendable income. And so his question is a very good one, is what's the amount that I consider personally for having financial margin? Well, if you look at the calculators that we just referenced, it will tell you that out of that amount, you need to have at least 5% of your net spendable income set aside for savings and 5% of the same amount for investment. So a total of about 10% is the minimum for developing financial margin. And that's the amount that you should have remaining after you've paid all of your expenses. But it's far better if you can increase both of those amounts to 10%. 10% for savings and 10% for investments. And that's 20% of your net spendable income. And I realize you're going to have to be very frugal and very wise to increase your margin to that amount. But if your goal is to get financially free, then that type of financial margin will accelerate you towards that goal.
Chuck, this next question will require a little bit of extra setup in order for you to give an appropriate answer. The listener writes, I'm a married woman, 42 years old, and I have three daughters. When I was a young child, my parents were able to create an offshore trust fund for me. Since last December, I've lost $1 million in value. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I homeschool my daughters. My husband is earning around $56,000 a year plus benefits, including very good health insurance. However, if we lose the money in the trust, we cannot afford to pay our mortgage. My husband and I would like to cash out of the market and cut our losses. We would like to pay off our mortgage, reduce our monthly expenses, and then ladder the money in treasury bills and sit tight through the storm. My broker and my accountant are advising me to stay in the market at 60% in stocks. When I told him I wanted some cash reserve, he suggested we sell the bonds to put $75,000 aside. I could not sleep last night. This morning I read my Bible, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Mr. Bentley, I see danger and I want to take refuge.
Well, what a great comment and a great question. This is a listener who's gone beyond the basics of getting a budget, getting out of debt, and now wants to manage wisely a great deal of surplus. So I appreciate her writing and certainly appreciate her wanting to do the right thing. Now, there are two specific steps that I would take. I would contact your broker and ask specifically to get the information of how your trust fund is invested. And be sure that you take it to someone you trust and analyze whether or not you're properly diversified. And if you agree with what the broker is doing in terms of balancing your portfolio, because you may not need to take all the money out of the market, just simply rebalance it and reposition it so that you're not in a position to be at such high risk. The second thing is I would suggest that you consider leaving some of the money in the market and improving your personal financial condition. If you took half of the money out of the market right now and paid off your mortgage in full, $458,000, you'd still have $75,000 in cash, and you could leave the difference, or almost half of your portfolio, invested into the market. So you could accomplish all of your goals and still have over $700,000 left to invest. But I do think it's important that you bring your husband into this decision. Seek his counsel, his input, and I wouldn't make any move until the two of you are in total agreement. And then accept the consequences of whatever you decide to do. No man can predict the future. So if you got out of the market and it suddenly goes back up, don't regret it or fret about that decision. At least you're going to sleep at night. Or the other side of it is you decide that you leave the money in the market and it continues to go down and you lose it. Then accept the consequences that you and your husband are walking in unity and you're not going to look back with regret over the decisions that you made with the best information that was available at that time.
Chuck, our next question comes from a listener who says, I'd be interested in tutoring on an elementary grade level privately from our home or a public location. I'd also be interested in teaching at local businesses as a benefit to their employees, either teaching English as a second language or as a personal financial principal trainer or other areas that they might be interested in.
Well, you have very marketable skills, especially if you want to teach children who need to improve their learning skills. And I would recommend that you do a Google search because there are many franchises that offer a nice structure for people who want to tutor or teach or offer private lessons in a whole variety of specializations. And if you find a franchise that operates in your area, there may be a couple of opportunities for you. One would be to buy into that franchise and start your own business. But some of them are just looking for private contracts. contractors to work as an instructor as they place tutors in your area. Now, if you decide to go it alone, then just post a simple notice of what you charge, what your specialization is, put it on a few of the internet sites out there, maybe post it at church among some of your friends or in the neighborhood or at school where your children attend, and you will find that there's a large demand for people who do what you're interested in doing, and it's a great part-time business right now.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we're answering your questions today. Chuck, in this last segment, we have time for maybe one or two more questions. And Chuck, this next question is a general one, but we do get asked this quite often. What kind of businesses are available for me to do from home?
Well, we do get asked that a lot, Dave, and our research department found an excellent article on CNN about companies that are presently looking for workers that are willing to work from home. And the list is pretty extensive. Alpine Access, Convergys, Extended Presence, Internet Girl Friday, Live Ops, OPS, Spheris, S-P-H-E-R-I-S, Staffcentrics, VIP Desk, VoiceLog, and West at Home, just to name a few.
Wow.
So there's lots of opportunities out there if you're willing to work from home.
And that's not licking and stuffing envelopes, is it?
Well, I think a lot of it is technology-based, either doing work online or via the phone.
Well, Chuck, I hope the answers we've given to these questions have been helpful to our listeners. And by the way, you can always listen to Money Life online at crown.org. Now, Chuck, before we go today, we have a special guest that's joined us in studio. And this is somebody you know pretty well.
Well, I do know this fellow pretty well. He's one of my four sons. And normally I don't have the privilege of having any of my four sons in the studio with us. But John happened to drop by and peek in the window. And so I asked him to come and say hello to our Money Life listeners. John, say hello.
Hi.
Tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 11.
And do you have any brothers at home?
I have three. Well, two.
Well, tell us about your brothers.
Well, one goes to UGA, and the first one is married and has a little boy, so
you're an uncle,
right?
Yeah, you're an uncle. And what's your nephew's name?
Henry.
And you also have a little brother at home.
Mm-hmm. His name's Luke, and he is 8.
Well, what does your father do for a living?
He works at Crown.
And what does he do at Crown? Do you have any idea?
No.
Oh, now, John, you're killing me. Does Dad have something he likes to teach and talk about?
Money.
Oh, okay. What specifically about money do I teach?
How to use it wisely.
And where do I get my information from?
The Bible.
And do you think that that's a wise thing for other people to do?
Yes.
So you agree that the Bible has good wisdom about handling money?
Yes, I do.
And is there anything that you specifically have learned from your dad that you use in your own life in regard to the Bible and money?
To save it and give some to the church and then use some more for spending.
Well, John, that is a great answer that I didn't prep you for, did I?
No.
You're just giving your own answers, right?
Yes.
Well, do you think that's good advice for all of our listeners?
Yes, I do.
Well, have you enjoyed being our guest on Money Life today?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's been great having you, and thanks for stopping by the studio.
You're welcome.
Well, we're out of time for today's program. For Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.